again, all those questions, right? Am I not ready? Do I not believe enough? Am I not desperate? Is it not like Hannah? Do I need to give the child back to you? What do I need to do to get this miracle? And the Holy Spirit spoke so sweetly to my spirit and said, Jamie, I love you so much. And that was the part that I didn't realize that was the actual question I was asking. Lord, do you love me? Because you're not answering my prayer.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out. Hi, friends. Welcome to Talk It Out. And today we're going to be talking about some really important things, and I think it's going to impact a lot of you, whether it's something that you're dealing with yourself or something with a friend. But before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about dietary issues.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about it.
So Tim and I, first of all, I don't cook at all.
Right. You're not the best. You're good at a lot of things.
Thank you.
You have a lot of talents.
I like the way that you're making it kind of like the bad news sandwich.
Yeah.
You have many talents. You suck at cooking.
Yeah.
But you're okay otherwise.
But you're great.
You made a mean queso.
That's true.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And bacon.
She like burnt scrambled eggs.
I did that. Yes. I'm a terrible cook, as in like it's a danger to society.
Yeah.
There are fires involved and people get ill. And so I just don't cook anymore. Tim's a decent cook.
Yes.
But there's a limited repertoire of what he makes and what we can eat. Well, we both recently found out that we have to adjust our diets. And we have to adjust them, this is per the doctor, for different things. So we can't even eat the same things anymore. We're like on opposite sides of what we can eat. So basically, my eating life is over.
Wow. So what will you do? Because he cooks for you.
Yeah.
I feel concerned.
We're both very concerned.
And hungry.
And hungry.
When your husband goes out of town on trips, we do all wonder what you'll eat for a week. So
when he's gone, I eat like a 9-year-old. When he's gone, I eat like a bowl of cereal for dinner, or maybe just ice cream, you know?
I like it, but it's probably not going to help you.
That's my dietary issue. Well, we do have some special guests who are going to be on the podcast with us today. And they are so brave to share the experiences that they have been through, because today we're talking about the heartbreak of infertility and the millions, hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many, but so many families who really want to have a child and are struggling to have that. And so today we just want to talk about that heartbreak, and we want to talk about how to handle it spiritually and what so many people are going through so that people know they're not alone and people know that there is hope.
Yeah.
And hope comes in many different forms. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes in an answer and a child, and sometimes it comes in healing and peace.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna talk through all this. And Aaron, this is a topic that you've brought up before, that's something that you've dealt with quite a bit. So you're gonna be sharing too.
I am. It's one of those topics. You know, we all have our own things that God has had to really help us walk through. Mm-hmm. And this is one for me. So even just saying those words and like to know that our friends are going to share their stories, it brings me back to a place of a lot of emotion and just that part of your heart that like only women will understand, and that longing that you just can't explain it. So it's a tough one.
And I think there's something in this too that is for women and for their husbands, because it's a different kind of pain, but there are so many men who want to be dads desperately and it's not happening for their families. And so there's a lot to talk about in the different ways that we all deal with it and things that are going on. But, you know, something that
that you've talked about before a lot, Jay, is just how when we go through difficult times, and we don't really understand it, you know, it's just so hard to fathom. And that feeling of, God, I did everything right.
Yeah.
Why isn't it happening the way it should? I followed your word. Mm-hmm. Why is it not going that way? And so many people feel that. So we're going to start with that. And Joyce is going to talk a little bit about that thought of, why do we have to go through such hard times? And especially when I've done what you've asked me to do, why am I not seeing the answer yet? So we're going to start there. And then we're going to come back and share a story that I think will help you connect to this topic.
You lead me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, here's the message that I want to get across to you, and I'm going to tell you up front what it is, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the time re-reminding you and convincing you that what I'm saying is scriptural. Even though you're doing the right thing, and you're on the right path, and you're growing in God, you're pressing on in righteousness, your path is becoming brighter and brighter every day, that does not necessarily mean that you won't pass through what the Bible calls the shadow of the valley of death, which basically just means hard times. So we got to get rid of any kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm trying to do what's right and the right thing's not happening to me and I'm just tired of this, so I'm just going to quit and give up. We need to leave the timing of our results in God's hands. Our job is not results. Our job is obedience. We do what we do, not even to just get a result, but because that's what we believe God wants us to do. And we know that if we do what is right, we will have peace. And listen to me, there is no way that we can ever fail and not be delivered if we're doing what's right. Amen. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm pretty busy these days trying to get people prepared for whatever may be ahead in our lives. Hey, listen, I hope we just have nothing but prosperous, wonderful, amazing things happen in our world until Jesus comes back, but I'm not so sure that that's going to be the case. And I want us to be prepared and ready. If it stays great, amen. But if it doesn't, I want to be just as strong in that hard place as I am on the pulpit in the good places. Amen. And we're making a mistake if we don't ask ourselves, am I ready for that? We need to ask ourselves if we're ready, if we need to go through difficulty and stay firm. Now, what sense does it make if you're doing the right thing, but you're just having trouble because of it? Well, it's just kind of part of the thing. And the whole thing is if you got problems in your life right now, you feel like you're being attacked, it's for one of two reasons. Either you've opened the door by doing something stupid and you've let the enemy in, or you're doing something right and the enemy's mad about it and he's trying to come against you to get you to stop it. And you don't need to try to figure out which one it is. You just pray and ask God to show you if you're wrong, keep showing you if you're right. And either way, I'm going to keep on keeping on, and I'm going to come out with the victory on the other side.
Keeping on through those hard times. And we all face it in different ways in our life. Yeah. And today we are talking about something that is so difficult. And so many women are praying and asking God for a child and not seeing that answer yet. And our beautiful, wonderful friend, Jamie Elrod, is with us.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Oh, we love Jamie. And Jamie, tell us a little bit about this road that you've walked of praying for a child and exactly what just Joyce was saying about trying to do everything right and wanting God's timing to be your timing and not seeing it happen.
Yeah. My journey looks like it's 10 years at this point, and I never would have imagined that it would take me 10 years, or I still don't actually have what I want, so I'm still waiting. I've had to ask myself those very questions, right, of okay, well, your word says to be fruitful and multiply. I'm married. I'm allowed to do this now. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Why is this not happening for me? Then it was, am I not ready to be a mom? Okay, so what do I need to do to become ready to be a mom? There's women out there all the time who didn't expect a pregnancy. I'm ready. Like, let me do that. Mm-hmm. And it was a really long process to just keep asking these questions. And unfortunately, he's not ever actually answered answered them in the way that I thought he would. There was a time, the very first part of my journey, the Lord really asked me to work on being okay going to a baby shower.
Mm. Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all my friends at that time were round one, round two of babies, round three. And I'm still sitting here going, Lord, when is it my time? And so being able to first be happy, genuinely happy for someone who has the thing that I don't have has been a challenge. But I'm so thankful I'm finally there. Yeah. It was probably years in the making, you guys. I wish it was sooner than that, but it was not.
That's honest, though.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
The second thing was to show up to the baby shower and be able to make it through the whole baby shower without breaking down. Mm-hmm. So I would, on purpose, drive myself to the baby shower, hold it together as long as I could. When I felt it was breaking, I would sneak out, just go in my car, go in the bathroom somewhere, break down, get it together, go back out, strong face, right? Because the party was not about me.
Right.
The party was about them and them getting the miracle that they have been wanting. And I genuinely wanted to be there to support them. So that was the first part of my journey.
Yeah.
The second part was, okay, God. We've been around this mountain. Mm-hmm. My body is very good at reminding me monthly that I still don't have what I want. And so every month I am disappointed by I've been hopeful, but yet I keep being reminded that I'm not pregnant. So then he's asking me to, can you, one, believe that I'm a good God? So our pastor at one point gave a really wonderful sermon on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm. And in that story, he says, they said, I believe he can.
Yeah.
Mm. I believe he will. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't, I still will believe. Mm. And my perspective had to change, right? Life is so much more than about me getting a baby. But this deep desire within me, and it's not been released. So as long as that desire is there, I'm going to keep trying to have hope and believe for my miracle. And so I had to really believe that he is a good God.
Yeah.
That beyond my circumstances, I trust him, and I trust that he's going to work this out regardless if I ever get the answer to what I've been praying for.
Did you find that you had to say that before you really felt it on the inside? I mean, how did you get to the place where you can say that and mean it?
Oh, it was a journey of highs and lows.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I don't know that I do it. I don't know that I've arrived.
Sure.
It is definitely a practical, daily, intentional walk to say, it's you and me, God, right? Well, and my husband, right? He's the third part of this little journey. But my relationship with God has grown so much during this. When I was about halfway through, so 5 years in, I had a friend who challenged me to read a book, and the book was about learning to wait well and realize that during your waiting season, God can use that to grow you in so many other areas. So I've learned a ton during these 10 years of how my relationship with God should be, my value in Christ. I'm a very list-oriented person. I like goals. I like to succeed. This was an area of failure for me. And I just realized that element of it 2 years ago. Mm. So, I mean, there's just so many bits and pieces to this story that he's been so kind and so gentle with me to walk me through each and every step when I'm ready. Mm. And one story I'd like to share is I felt the Holy Spirit ask me to post on social media a little bit about my story. And it was at a decent level, like a 10,000-foot view, right, of what I've been going through. So those who are close to me know the intimate details, but those on social media, probably not so much. Mm-hmm. So I posted it, got some really wonderful feedback. There was one comment out of all the comments that wasn't in line
with. That's all it takes sometimes, isn't it?
That's one of them.
I know. And honestly, I really wish it hadn't had affected me the way that it did. It took me 2 days of crying to process the truth. So I was driving in my car crying out to God, Lord, again, all those questions, right? Am I not ready? Do I not believe enough? Am I not desperate? Is it not like Hannah? Do I need to give the child back to you? What do I need to do to get this miracle? And the Holy Spirit spoke so sweetly to my spirit and said, Jamie, I love you so much. Mm. And that was the part that I didn't realize that was the actual question I was asking. Lord, do you love me? Because you're not answering my prayer.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Where's the Kleenex?
So that has actually been a big caveat to my hope being restored.
Yeah.
The hope that it comes and goes. But since he's told me that, I no longer doubt that he's got good plans for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been saved for so many years, you would think I would know by now. I knew. But Joyce recently said, you know, it's the knowing in your, and at this point, I now know that he loves me regardless of what I get in life, what I don't get in life, whatever path he has me on, it is definitely his plan. And I'm along for the ride. And so not every day is easy. And he's been so kind to also support me with people in my life who do know the intimate details and can hold me during those difficult times. And it's like, I just don't even know.
But. Well, you know, one of the things that I see in you, Jamie, is such joy even through heartbreak.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's such a wonderful testimony to what God has done in your life and is doing and who he is and who you are.
Yeah, when you. I was, when Jamie and I started trying to get pregnant around the same time together. And so that alone just makes me emotional just to think about. I remember going to McAllister's for lunch with you, and we would have these conversations like, it was just one day, it's going to happen one day. And that she's always been like that. Like that joy that you have, I spoke volumes to me when I was having a bad day, or, I mean, just always so encouraging, even in the middle of your own pain. And one thing that you said to me, which I resonate with so much, like the striving. And you and I are both very driven. We like to achieve. And so I'm going to achieve a baby.
That's right.
Is my goal. That's my goal. And so I remember it was like I would try everything. Like, oh, this is probably the one thing I haven't done yet for God that he needs me to do. So let me go ahead and do this. So I felt like I was supposed to do this. I'm going to call and ask for forgiveness for all my friends who are pregnant or just gave birth that I have been jealous of. And like that probably was healthy of me. That probably maybe the Lord was leading me to do that. But I thought, I've made the phone calls. I've asked for forgiveness genuinely. So I'm probably going to be pregnant next month. And then that didn't happen. And then I felt like I was to get baptized at church. You were there that Sunday. And I really believe God told me to get baptized again, which I felt ridiculous because I grew up in church. I've been baptized. And so maybe that's what God wants me to do to get that baby. So I get baptized, really cool experience. And I still didn't get that baby. And I just remember thinking like, what I am out of lists. There's nothing left to check off that I can do for you. So what are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. So I get that feeling of the striving. It's hard.
Yeah. That value that you're talking about, just feeling like, does God even love me? And where's my value if I'm not worthy?
Yeah.
Which that's never the truth. That's never how God sees it, that we're not worthy. We don't understand what's happening, but we know that in God's eyes, his love for us is perfect.
Yeah.
And so just to be able to share what you've just shared, Jamie, with people is so important, that no matter what it is that is missing, that we think we're not doing right, we're not getting, God's not answering, it's not a matter of his love for us. Yeah. He loves us all so much.
I challenge people that maybe haven't had the same story as yours to instead of making those comments, and I remember that pressure even when I was first got married, of people coming and asking immediately, when are you guys having kids? When are you guys doing this? It's like people
rush that process too. So that pressure and people that don't even mean any harm, like church people, people at work. It's mm-hmm. like, so I just want
to tell them your list of things that people aren't supposed to say.
People need to know, Jamie.
Yes, too. I have a list because, so a cultural norm, cultural norms, I think indicate that questions like this should be asked. Okay, you're out of high school. Great. Where are you going to have what's your career?
Yeah.
Okay, you're of age of some kind. When are you getting married? Now you're married. When are you having babies? And the list just goes on, right? Me personally, women, not every woman wants to have a child.
Yeah.
So you probably shouldn't even ask all women that.
Yeah.
The other part is some women just want to have a career and really value certain things. Some women want to have it all, right?
Yeah.
So maybe ask them, how do you fill your time? Or what's important to you? What are your dreams? As opposed to these other things
that's
that can
a great
really
suggestion.
It can bring shame. It can bring embarrassment. Yeah. It can bring all kinds of things when it's not done. Mm. When you're not someone who's in the weeds with someone battling something like this, it really is, it's almost inappropriate to even ask such a deep question, not knowing what they might be going through.
Yeah.
That's good. It's not helpful.
No, it's not.
And I know, like I said before, like I know a lot of people don't mean any harm, but what it does, it's very hurtful. And even after I had my daughter, I remember people asking, don't you want a boy? Like, it's like, we were trying. So it's like, I can't make this happen any faster. So I understand, like, what you're saying is so helpful. And I hope people really, you know, like, really take something away from that, because it's not helpful. If certain things, like, whether it's your desire to have it or not, it's not, no one's place to, to almost, it almost seems like bullying. Like, you know, even though it's like, it's out of a good place usually, you know.
And usually it's just small talk, which is so surface level. Right. You're asking me a life altering decision here.
So. I have no idea how our words impact
the
people that we're sitting across from. Jamie, thank you.
Oh, sure.
I really appreciate so much you just being so open and honest and sharing this, because I really believe it sets some people free who are like, that's where I am. That's where I've been, whatever it may be. But
that's awesome.
We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, you guys.
And we are praying.
We are praying.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to head back to Joyce and see what she has to say now, because there is a big difference between choosing our own steps and allowing God to direct us in His steps. And it is hard, and His steps are perfect. And trying to understand that when we're not going the direction we think we want to is really difficult. So let's listen to this, and then we have another special guest who's going to share more about her story.
Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 20:24 says, "A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can a man or anyone understand their own way?" Boy, we always like, "Well, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I thought this was going to happen, but that happened." Well, he says, how can a man be expected to understand his way when God is directing his steps? Proverbs 3:5-8. Talks about not trying to figure things out, to stay away from reasoning. And boy, I tell you, this was a big problem for me for a long, 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 long time. I just couldn't seem to settle down and feel comfortable until I thought that I had everything all figured out and put neatly in a little box so I always knew what was going to happen. But you know, a lot of times, even if we think we have it figured out, we find out eventually that we were wrong after all. But I'll say again, what God has planned for us is so much better than what we plan for ourselves. Proverbs 3:5-8 are such comforting scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind. In other words, with your thoughts. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, this says submit to Him. Another translation says acknowledge Him. In other words, it's simply, Lord, this is what I have planned today, or this is what I have planned this week, or this is what I have planned for a career, but I want to submit it all to You. And if it's not what You want, then I invite You to change it. Your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. You know, it's easy to pray that because it sounds spiritual, but do you really mean it? Do you have a plan for your life that you think is right, but are you willing to say to God today, God, if the thing that I have planned is not the best, then I invite you, I want you to change my plan because I want your will in my life.
Those are hard words to say.
They're so hard.
God, change my plan.
Yeah.
Because we think that our plans are best, mm-hmm. even though, you know, we know God is God, mm-hmm. and yet it's so difficult when his plan doesn't line up with what's in our heart. And our friend Kim yep. has been dealing with this issue that we've been talking about today, and Kim's story is a little bit different. And Kim Leip, thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Being with us. We love you too so much.
That's wonderful friends. Yes.
I know. it's so good to be able to share the story with people that we love. Your story is a little bit different mm-hmm. because you got married a little bit later, and I mean a little bit because you are not very old, mm-hmm. but you got married a little bit later yeah. in life,
yeah.
and therefore, you know, thought this will probably happen. Tell us a little yeah. bit about your experience.
Yeah, my waiting was getting married, was mm-hmm. more in the, you know, getting married, and I was more mad at God before I got married, sure. you know, than after, but... So, yeah, I got married at age 41. My husband and I knew we wanted children, but we also knew it would be possibly an uphill challenge just because we're older and not sure how this works now when you're in your 40s. And sure. So we tried to conceive for a little over 2 years, and we did become pregnant. So we were excited, like, oh, my gosh, this can happen, but scared at the same time. In fact, I did the pregnancy test at work and told a few people before I even told my husband. And we were just really elated. And but then we miscarried. And we were devastated. Just that, okay, it happened, God, but now what? In fact, we named our child, and he would have been 5 years old last week, actually. And so... So we still tried. We're like, okay, this can happen. We're going to continue to try. And it was another 2 years and just nothing. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we were like, well, what's that next step? Like, do we still want children? We're approaching our 50s. Now what? And so we first looked into trying to adopt a newborn. We looked at different agencies, and we were told we were too old because you could only be like 40 to adopt a newborn baby, and that's where someone would choose you to be the parent. And it was just like, oh, my gosh, we are stable. We have good values. We have a great support system, but we're considered too old to yeah. have a baby.
How disappointing.
Yeah. And so, okay, now what? It was during the pandemic when we were trying to figure all this out, and we met with a fertility doctor, and he says to me, it's not that you're too old, it's just that your eggs most likely are too old, or either the quality or the quantity is diminishing, but your health is great, and you're not too old to have a baby. He's like... in fact, he was helping someone at that time at age 55 have a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like, okay, so I don't want that, but, you know, thank you. So we prayed about it, and we went with the route of getting donor eggs so that it would have at least someone's DNA mm-hmm. in the baby. And so we went through the whole process of purchasing donor eggs. We had a GoFundMe page. We raised most of the funds that we needed because it was thousands and thousands of dollars. So we came to the point where the first round of all the hormonal injections and drugs and...
It's a lot to go through, isn't it?
Yes, it's just, you know, little belly scabs every day you'd see on your body and bruising. And so we went through that, and we were at a place where they bring you in to do an ultrasound to make sure your uterine lining is okay. So we were about 10 days out before the transfer, and they discovered a polyp on my uterine lining. So we had to stop everything. After 2 months of all these hormonal shots and stuff, mm-hmm. and prepare for a surgery. So then we did the surgery. We had to wait before we started up again. And then I had to go through it all again. So at this time, I'm probably 46, 47 years old. And we get to the place where we're good. The uterine line's fine. We had 8 eggs four were fertilized, which is a great percentage. So we get to the hospital that day, and my husband and I actually even, we created a video for our child. Just, we're excited to meet you. And so we get in the hospital room, and the doctor comes, and he brings me a picture of one embryo. And I'm like, where's the other three? And he said, they just didn't make it. He said, but you have a, this is a great embryo. And so we were kind of already just disappointed, but okay. He says it's a great embryo. We were hoping for at least two to be transferred. And he starts going into plan B. He says, if this doesn't work, and I just stopped him and said, this has to work. Like, this is money. This is, like, we just can't go through this process anymore. So we go through, and the transfer happens, and it was amazing to see just the science of it all. It was, the monitors there were looking at the transfer, and it's actually recorded for us. And so we see the whole transfer, and I get, we had so much faith. Like, it was just, we were very strong in our faith, and we really felt like it was going to happen. We were already looking at nursery ideas and so forth. So it's about 5 to 7 days later, I do a pregnancy test with lab work, and I waited for them to call me. And they did call me and told me that you're not pregnant. And that was kind of the end of our journey of that. So
at that point, after so much, you've been through so much, and you lost one child already, you had to feel like you were losing a child again.
I was, for me, the miscarriage was devastation. This was just disappointing for me. I remember walking down to the basement that day that I heard about the test. My husband was working, and I shared the news with him. And he was just, I'm mad. He was mad at God. And from there, I was more concerned about my husband at that point than me. You know, like, I'm disappointed, but my husband is mad. Yeah. And he even made the comment to me at one point that God must not think I would be a good father. Hmm. So that's hard for me because that's not true. Yeah. You know, so it's just, we did everything we knew to do, but this was it. And
So at that point, you made the decision that you weren't going to continue trying other medical answers.
No, I mean, just if the plan B would have cost us probably close to $100,000.
Wow. Wow.
And we just, what happens at that point. I'm still able to get pregnant. God forbid to become a Sarah, because I don't want to be. We don't want to be old,
You're young and spry.
Yeah.
You're good.
And I don't want to be this old parent. So if it happens, great. But we are at a point that, I don't know. There's just this peace that I have. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, you know, when you have that peace about something, but there's just, God, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I still trust you. And I know you have a purpose for my life, and you have a purpose for even all the things that we've went through.
Yeah. With you and Greg feeling differently about it at the time, you know, just responding differently, which makes total sense. I think almost every couple would do the same thing. How did you work through it together?
You know, when he told me that, the first thing I said to him is, it's okay to be mad at God, and he can handle it. And, we've all been mad at God.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell him, you know, but please don't become bitter with God. So we'd have these dinner conversations of just, how are you doing? And just working through it. And for me, I was more focused on him than I was what I had went through.
Yeah.
But it was reminding him of, look at the things that God has done for us. We have to kind of go back. And I didn't think I'd ever going to meet you. No. You're not, you know, you don't know the good three essential food groups that I like. You know, you're not the guy that I had chosen for my life.
Back to what we talked about in the beginning.
Yes. You know, he didn't like Mexican food, dark chocolate, or, you know, or coffee.
Yeah, and yeah, those are three good groups.
This is not who God would have for me, but he's now two out of three he's good on. Okay. So
good work.
But he wasn't who I was exactly looking for, but God had the perfect person for me. Not, he wasn't the checklist guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy that God had for me. And so reminding him that, look at God bringing us together, and then looking at all the other things that God has placed in our lives. And we have to, sometimes when you're going through those journeys, you have to go back and say,
remember when God did this for us. Yeah. And knowing that God's been truly faithful to me in my life in general. And that's what gets me through those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have to be real honest here. Like, I can see her husband sitting right behind her.
He's on camera behind.
Yeah, he's camera behind. Yeah, he's not just sitting there creepily looking behind us.
Yeah.
But to watch him, I don't know what Greg's thinking back there, but to stand behind you and support you and to have known you when you were single and to have watched you walk through these years, Kim, and to see this man supporting you, like, that is a faithfulness of God. And that makes me mad too. I'm with Greg. I feel mad about some of this stuff. I have a really hard time understanding, like, why God, what are we waiting for? Because I don't get it. But that, to me, is a picture of his faithfulness. And something, he'll do something. We don't know what it is. But, man, that's just really, really beautiful picture right now.
My husband takes such good care of me. And I don't, not everybody has that. And I think that sometimes we're just looking for the surface level things, and to know that God provided me somebody that I knew would just be there, that he would be faithful to me, and then that he's just a good guy. I don't know how else to explain it to you, but I waited those many years, and the waiting paid off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's even when I think of, like, you know, Jamie's story is like, there's a, God has something for Jamie. Yeah. And I know he still has something for me. I don't know what his purpose and plan is for me going through it, but I still believe that there's something. And whether it's me just sharing, you know, or helping others, I don't know. But I just trust that there's something out there for me.
Yeah. It goes back to that hard lesson that Joyce was talking about, what the word says about, you know, a man plans their steps, but God ordains their way. And when God doesn't ordain the way that we want it to be, it's so challenging and so hard to understand. But there are many, many people who years down the road can look back and say, listen to me, I've been there and I've seen this faithfulness of God along the way. And when we're in the middle of it, when we're in the heartbreak, it's really hard to experience that, to see it. So it really does benefit us to hear it from people who've walked through it and can look back and say, hey, it's not what, it's not even what I wanted, but God did good things.
Yeah. A foundational scripture of my life has always been James 1:2, that the trials of your life will bring about perseverance and the building of your faith. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's exactly what has helped me in this journey, that if I didn't have that and didn't stand on that, that this probably would have been a lot tougher for me, especially the last round. But I just, it's like my faith was already built up and I'm like, God, I'm here, and whatever you, however you want to use me and use this story, I'm open to it.
That's one thing I love about, like, the Talk It Out friends, right? Like, it's a bunch of brave, brave people, because very rarely do you hear, at least when I was growing up, you didn't hear people talk about their situation until the outcome of being like, and here's my beautiful baby boy. Like, people don't talk about the struggle. So I just thank you and Jamie for being brave enough to, in the middle of it, not seeing the goodness of God manifested on the other side yet, you know, like, or not understanding while you're still having the questions. Like, I think that is so practical. So that, like, that's one of my things that I take away from all the things that I've gone through, is like the fact that we get to share it with people and give people the courage to say, I know that it doesn't make sense now. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if it's going to really make sense next year, the year after that, or ever, you know, but thank you for sharing that. It's very, very powerful. Yeah. Very powerful.
I think there's wonderful hope in the fact that God still has a plan.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is. And like you said, Aaron, we don't get it. We don't always like it. Mm-hmm. But when I think back to the day that Greg snuck in here, he didn't work here at the time, and proposed to Kim in front of our whole staff. And it was just so sweet. And we were all so happy. And to know that that was the beginning of God's good plan.
Yes.
And just so many more things ahead for you guys.
Yep.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
All of it with us. It, like you said, Aaron, we've we've known Kim through a lot of different stages and going through all this. And Kim is hilarious. And she is fun. And she's a tough cookie. And she's full of faith. And I love her to pieces.
Kim hired me. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then Ginger took you away.
Well, that is something I'll let you two work out later.
We're fighting over Aaron still.
Go ahead. Tell me why. You <left me. laughs>
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate it. And we want to talk about that hope because that's what we all need. We all need that hope to get through the next day and the day after and the day after. So let's hear what Joy says about God's word and that hope that is real for all of us.
Even in difficult situations, God will show us what to do if we put our hope and our trust in Him. Keep acknowledging God and He will direct you. And I want to encourage you to verbalize that trust. Every time you start to worry, which believe me, the enemy, the devil, will try his very best to get you to worry. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what are you going to do if this? And what are you going to do if that? You can't worry about all the ifs and the buts and the what ifs. What you need to do is open your mouth and say, I trust God. It's better even to say it than it is just to think it. Because when you say it, you also hear it back again yourself. I trust God. I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure this out. I trust God. Now, you know, I just have a sensing that there are so many people watching right now, and you desperately need to stop trying to figure everything out, because there are things that God knows that He is not going to tell us. He may tell us later. He may never tell us. But one of the things that we say is we live life forward, but we understand it backward. There's so many things that when they were going on in my life, I just did not understand them. And I'm sure that many of you have things going on right now that you just do not understand. But 5 years from now, a year from now, maybe 10 years from now, you look back and you say, wow, I didn't understand that then, but now I see how it fits into my life. I look back now and even some of the people that I was involved with when I first got into ministry, they ended up hurting me really bad and I was just emotionally devastated by that. But I look back now and I realize that if God would not have removed them from my life forcibly, I would have tried to take them along with me on my journey, and they weren't right for where God was taking me. We really need to trust God in good times and in difficult times.
Yeah. You know, when you look at what God expects of us, mm-hmm. and He knows how weak and fallible we are, how I want to figure everything out and I want to know all the answers, and He just doesn't need to work in that way. He's God.
Yeah.
And yet when we sit and we listen to our friends sharing and their hurt, you know, it's hard to see people that we love. It's hard to even see people that we don't know
right.
who are hurting and who don't understand what is happening. And so when you go to God and you just say, Lord, help me, sometimes we just have to stop the prayer right there. It can't be help me understand.
Yeah,
it can't be help me see what the future is. It's mm-hmm. just, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. And there is a comfort that we can't understand. And I think you see that in both Jamie and Kim.
Yeah.
A comfort even in the midst mm-hmm. of heartbreak that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Mm-hmm. And so for everyone who's with us right now with that desire, that broken heart that's not being answered, whether it's this, whether it's for a child or it's for something else that they're desperately Absolutely. Asking God for, I just think we keep going back to that God's ways are so much higher than ours, and they're so hard to understand. But you've been there yourself, Aaron, and you walked through many years of that.
I did, and even still, like it doesn't even feel fair for me to say that because I got those babies. So why me, and why can't my friends? And I don't get it. And something that has been so huge for me, I feel like you, God, and I have a lot of conversations like, come on now.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. And so something that I always have to go back to is God is good. And so last night I was in a Bible study and we were talking about this phrase, these three questions. Ask them to yourself. Is God good? Is God good to me? Mm. And is God good at being God? So at face value, yeah, absolutely, God is good. Is God good? All the time. All the time, God is good, yeah. Right? We say that all of our life. But then you face something like this, and do I actually believe that he is who he says he is? And the promises that I stood on all those years ago when I wanted a baby, he was good then when I didn't get what I wanted. He's good because I got what I wanted, but he's still good because his plan doesn't look like I want it to for my friends. So that's what I have to wrestle with a lot.
Yeah. You have a notebook here with piles
of
written out scriptures and prayers and promises that you were standing on. And
yeah, I was looking last night because I wanted to, there was some stuff I was looking for specifically. So I have all these journals and I found this one and it's from the year I was waiting. Well, it was the 1 year right before I got pregnant. And so it's just pages of emails and scriptures on fertility. And I'm reading these notes last night of, like, where are you? And why can't I have this? I'm doing what you're asking. And, but then mixed in there, I'm seeing Mike and I are struggling. And so he and I were going through stuff. And so, like, now in hindsight, I'm so grateful that he didn't give me what I wanted then, because we were not in a place to have that baby. And so for our specific story, I can see the hand of God all over these pages. And I see his faithfulness show up, even though I'm not getting the answers I'm wanting. I'm writing down scriptures of things I'm standing on and believing. And even though that baby didn't come on that day on that page, he showed up.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
showed up for me so that day. Good. And years ago, I did a 30-30 challenge and with Joyce. And I committed to 30 days to read my Bible and study it and for 30 minutes a day. And that was another thing on my list of things I was going to do to get that baby. If I do this, then I'm going to be pregnant at the end of the 30 days. But I didn't. I didn't get a baby. But what I got was God beating me every single day that I showed up.
Yeah.
And he didn't change my circumstance, but he changed my heart.
Yeah.
And he showed me that he's good.
Yeah. It all goes back to our lives not looking the way we think they're going to look. Mm-hmm. And trusting God in the fact that when it looks different, that it can still be good. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard. My mother lost a baby at full term. Mm-hmm. So my sister was stillborn. Mm-hmm. And I have always thought about that sister, mm-hmm. how wonderful it would be to have, her name was Luann, to have Luann as my sister. And then when I was pregnant, the second time with Morgan, I had a miscarriage, mm-hmm. and they told me, you know, the baby was gone. I had a lot of bleeding, had a miscarriage. And then about a week later, they found out I was still pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so it was twins. Mm-hmm. And so you think of those children that God gives you always for the rest of your life. I have a sister.
Yeah.
And I have another baby.
Yeah.
So those life-altering moments, when God gives you a gift, even though we don't understand the heartbreak of when it's gone, when it feels like he took it away, there's something, a part of your heart that baby is always, always a part of and a part of your family. Huh. And I think about all the women listening right now who've lost children or haven't been able to have that child that is the desire of their heart. And there are so many things that we just don't get. But there will come a time when we're all in heaven and there's a fullness, a fulfillment of everything that we needed will be met at mm-hmm. that point. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say it's today. I wish I could say that we'll all have those heartaches healed right now. But God promises that every tear that we shed, he is collecting and cherishes and taking care of. And so I wish there were answers. I wish there were things that we could say, but
can I say one thing?
Yes, please.
Because I need to show you something.
Yeah.
In this journal is an email that you sent me So this was, I had just gotten pregnant, but I was so scared because I wanted this baby so badly. And I got it and I thought, he's going to take it from me. Like, because he's not good. I hadn't believed yet that he was good. So I'm emailing you. You had said, I'm praying for you. I don't know why, but I feel like you need prayer this week. And so I said, oh my gosh, I do need prayer. And so you said the same things then that you just said now, because I needed a friend to tell me, I don't know what will happen. You say, I don't know what's going to happen, but you are a mom. And it will, from here on out, it's going to be hard and scary. But God has, remember, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And to hear my friend encourage me in my pain and my fear was exactly what I needed in that moment. And the same thing when I had Jamie and I could tell her, today's a hard day, and just to know you're not alone, that is so helpful in this situation. Mm-hmm, yeah. On either side of the journey. So I'm never going to delete this email in paper form.
Delete. It's nope. Like you can't delete the paper.
No, I can't delete it.
Too many tears. Too many tears to talk right now. Like they are dripping down my neck into my sweater. Oh my. I just want exactly what Jamie said. I just want everyone who's listening right now to know how much God loves you.
Yeah. Yeah.
To know how much, like Kim said, he understands your anger. Mm-hmm. Like Aaron said, he understands your guilt. Mm-hmm. Because you don't understand maybe why you have something that someone else doesn't, or your pain because someone else has something that you don't. God is big enough to handle all of it today. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That God gives you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in him. And that as you walk through this journey with him, that he will give you something even greater than you thought you needed. That he will give you a comfort and a love beyond your imagination and a joy that surpasses any earthly thing that you could ever have. And we just want to encourage everyone to know that, you know, there may not be an answer today.
Yeah.
But God's love is real and it's tangible and it's right there with you right now. And we're sorry that you're hurting and we love you so much. And we just want to get you in God's word. Because just like Erin did for all those scriptures that she was standing on, we do have a free audio download for you that you can get right now. It's a book from Joyce called When God When. And it's an audio download of her teaching from that. And it's so good when we're asking those questions, when is this going to happen for me? Whatever it is, I don't know what it is for you today, but God loves you through it. And he will not leave you. He will hold on to you so tightly as you walk through this. So go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout, and you can get that free audio download. Know that we love you, that we're praying for you, and that we're so grateful to our friends who shared this story today. Lots of tears we knew there would be.
Yeah.
But it's always worth sharing tears with people that you love. So thank you all for being with us. We love you too, and we will see you next time.
JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource to check out all of the episodes and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, and let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.